Blog Talk Radio. All right. Good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Spiritual Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashava. I'm one of the teachers here with the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. Thank you for welcome to our show. As you know, we have locations located in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, and Norfolk, Virginia. Our school in San Antonio, the School of Truth, has been around since like 1996. And they have classes Tuesday through Fridays, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that's local standard time, which would be Central Standard Time here in Texas. The school location for the School of Truth is 4219 Syndicate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Then the zip code there. And again, you're more than welcome to join their classes Tuesday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And they also just recently started doing a Sabbath service every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. also. So we invite you to unite and congregate and convocate with the as commanded to the Hebrew Israelites, that we come together every 7 days for the Sabbath. So we invite you to please come in and congregate with them on either Friday night or Saturday morning for the actual ceremonies, where they go through the prayers and go through the anointings and the Torah readings. Again, that's in San Antonio at 4219 Syndicate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. As you know, you can reach our other two schools, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, Houston, or the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, Norfolk. All right, if you go to the YouTube channels, ISBHPK Live or the ISBHPK Norfolk Live. The brothers in Houston, they have classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, going from 7 to 9. It's Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 to 9, and again on Fridays from 6 to 8. We invite you to, again, go to the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge YouTube page, like, share, and hit the subscribe button, and also the notification button, so you might be aware of any and all live streaming classes that they stream for your education, for your edification. Kazakia, and I'm sorry, the school location is 8524 South Brazier Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071, being the zip code there. We invite you to go and break bread with them. If you can't actually make the YouTube classes. If you're from Norfolk, the school location is 2610 Grambley Street, Norfolk, Virginia. I might have to get the zip code, but they're having classes on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays also, and also on Saturdays. And you're more than welcome to, again, like, share, subscribe to their YouTube channel. And I apologize for the interruption. You can like, share, subscribe to the YouTube channel, ISBHPK Norfolk Live. And they have classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 9. And again, that's Eastern Standard Time. So whatever time zone you might be in, adjust your times accordingly, because they do stream them live, okay? And they also put on a Saturday Sabbath ceremony also there at the school in Norfolk, 2610 Grambling Street. So we invite you to go ahead and join them if you happen to be on the East Coast for class or for the Sabbath ceremony as well. And then we're in Albuquerque at 7710 Suite F, Menard Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110, being the zip code there. As we get back to our regular schedule of classes, we'll be doing Tuesdays and Thursdays, the morning blog talk, and then we're going to get back to also the schedule of Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with the evening classes. You're going to get a break there with us as well. As of right now, I'm not in Albuquerque, so we're not doing the YouTube, but as soon as I do get back to Albuquerque, we will get our YouTube channels up and running again at ISBHPK ABQ Live. That would be ISBHPK ABQ Live. So we'll get our YouTube channels up and running again. You can be able to join us for class as well. Right now, though, you can just catch us with the blog talk. The blog talk radio show, 646-668-2568, being the dial-in phone number, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com. /Mashaba, MASHAHBA. That'll bring you to our shows. And if you download the app, Google Podcasts, once you download the app, then through the app, go to blogtalkradio.com and click the connect button, connect that way. And then from there, you can go to our page, Swear to Bible Talk, or type in Mashaba in the search box. And you'll see our blogtalkradio.com page comes up. You can hit the subscribe button. And then whenever we do a broadcast through the Blog Talk, you will be notified, or you'll be able to catch it through your podcast app there on Google does provide. The only announcement I do want to go ahead and get out the way is, again, September 27th, ISBHPK, as well as Master Yasser Allah, we will be observing the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets, right? That'd be September 27th at sunset. We have one of our major high holidays, high convocations coming up, which is the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets. So we invite you to get in touch with any one of the schools, Houston, Norfolk, San Antonio, Albuquerque, and congregate with any one of those congregations in whichever city might be closest to you, as we do observe the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets again. That's September 27th, starting at sunset until September 28th. Ending at sunset, okay? At this time, I would like to acknowledge a brother, a soldier, a good friend, to a lot of brothers and sisters in Albuquerque, Houston, and as well as in especially San Antonio, as I want to get the scripture prepared. The brother Ashar, has gone home. The most I call him back home, back to the fourth dimension, back to the spiritual realm, back to his celestial body. And this took place on Monday morning. So we do offer our most heartfelt and deepest condolences to his family, and the brothers, to his spiritual family and to his family as well. We'd like to offer our deepest and most sincere condolences to them. And to acknowledge that a great man in Israel, a great brother, a great friend, the Most High has took him home, and for that we mourn, in that we won't see him again as a Shar here in this cycle, but we rejoice that we know that he is definitely in the embrace and the arms of the Most High in Christ, resting in peace in his spiritual body. I just take some time. Again, I'm gonna take a minute just to pause to acknowledge and recognize, and also to tell the brother Ashar Akhtawada, brother, thank you. Thank you for your example of brotherhood. Thank you for your example of giving. Thank you for your example of always being happy. Henceforth, with your name, you know, you was given the name because whenever you came around, you made things better. Your smile lightened up the room. Your connection with from children to brothers to sisters to families was remarkable. The spirit you brought of dance, or just everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be good. We thank you for that, Ashar. We thank you for your contribution. And we know, beyond a reason of a doubt, and I want to hit up a few scriptures this morning, that you're a great man, and you would definitely be missed. You would definitely be missed, right? The scripture I do want to read as we're going to take these minutes of silence is a Psalm chapter 116, verse 15. The 116th Psalms and the 15th verse, and it reads as such, and it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. All right, that's Psalm chapter 116, verse 15. And yet it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And the Most High acknowledges that, and that's precious in the eyes of the Father. That's precious in the eyes of the Most High when these things happen and take place. That it's special and precious to the Most High. So, Jeremiah, I'm going to just take a minute of silence. Again, thank you, Shah, for your contribution, and again, in brotherhood and love and charity, for the many times that we went out street teaching together, passing out literature together, the many fairs that we participated in, whether it was the Mexico State Fair or the Miami Dade Expo, Youth Expo. You being an example of endurance, being an example of helping keep brothers in a good spirit, whether it was through the wobble dance that we would do, the Cuban shuffle, whatever it might have been, you always really brought the workouts that was done at the medical center or in Barnabas Garage or wherever it might have been. To you and your family, Brother Shah, the water. The water, the water, the water. I mean, the Most High, in your absence, may the Most High continue to bless, strengthen, and have your spiritual family be there for your family here. So with that, brothers and sisters, I ask you to take a minute of silence for the Brother Shah.
Should my
shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Yahweh shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.
All right. And again, to the brother Ashar, to his family, his spiritual family, and his earthly family, our deepest and sincerest condolences. And brother Ashar, we will see you again. We will see you again when you return with our Lord and Savior, Yahweh Shai. We know you'll be right there with him. All right. Real quick, as we've been going over for the past couple of weeks. Our series on faith and how that the Israelites, we've been going over in our series showing that in having faith in the Most High, because the way the Most High recognizes that Israelites have faith in him is by doing and applying his word. It's by actually doing and applying what he says and believing with confidence that what he says is true and that what he says is going to come to pass. And I didn't really cover this aspect of faith. But also, if we come back and look at all the prophecies that the Most High prophesied that would happen to the children of Israel, hundreds and thousands of years before the events took place, the Most High let the children of Israel know what was going to happen. And that was, if we match the prophecies with history, which is one thing we do like to do with the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, is that we're able to see and understand why the Word of God can be counted on as a reliable source of information, as a reliable source for you to put your belief into, as a reliable source for you to be able to apply within your lives, because we're seeing that the word of the Most High, as the scripture does say, that it's impossible for the Most High to lie. Right? The Most High, he's not as men, so he won't lie. That what he says is going to happen, it comes to pass, it does happen. And that for all the prophecies that have taken, that the Most High prophesied and given to us through Moses and through all his prophets, from Moses all the way through John the Baptist, that each one of his prophecies, none of them has failed. Right? None of his prophecies have failed. None of the things that the Most High said was going to happen have failed. They have come true. So why would we not believe in the words of the Most High is a bewilderment. Right? And this is why the Most High recognized and calls out many times how the children of Israel have no faith. That we don't listen to the Most High's word. We don't hearken to the Most High's word. We don't obey the Most High's word. Whether it be the commandments he gave us as far as eating pork, shrimp, crab, or lobster, and whether it be the congregating on the true Sabbath day, which would be from Friday sundown, the so-called Saturday sundown, to his words of just how to run our lives, how to be good Hebrew Israelite fathers, brothers, friends, sons, daughters, excuse me, sisters and wives, how to run Israelite business, or how the Most High wants things done. That one thing our people continue to do is not show our faith in the Most High that he's going to come through. Not have a confidence that if we just do what he says, things are going to work out. That we walk a lot more by the confidence of what we see and what we feel we can control, as opposed to letting the Most High be in control. That's why scripture does tell us that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. that the faith of the Most High comes through hearing. And hearing that other word of the Most High, that are we actually hearing the words of the Most High and actually putting them into action, putting them into use. Right? And that's what some of the things, excuse me, I don't know where this came from. I'm so sorry. That we want to make sure we're putting things into application. And along with that, I do want to go over some of the scriptures about what the Most High says about death and the cycle of death and how the cycle of death works for us or how it works and for us to take knowledge of it real quick. And I'm not going through a lot of scriptures, but I do want to hit some up. And the first one I want to go to is 1 Corinthians. And we've been over these scriptures before, as other brothers and sisters have been called back to glory, as other brothers and sisters have been called back to the Most High. We have gone over these scriptures before. But I do want to hit a couple of them up again real quick, and making sure that we know that we do have faith in the Father. We have a confidence in the Most High's word about that, as the Bible is given to us, that we can believe in what the Most High says. Because as we match his prophecies with history, not one has failed. As we match his word, his prophecies with history, we can see beyond the reason of a doubt that the Bible is a sincere and solid source of information for us to put our belief in, for us to derive all of our doctrines from, as far as is the words contained in the Bible. So I'm in 1 Corinthians, I'm in chapter 15 and verse 40. And it says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. And one thing we want to understand is that we have a spiritual body, and we have terrestrial or physical, earthly bodies. And that's what this scripture is letting us know, that there are also celestial bodies. And again, celestial being, I guess we looked it up real quick. That's one thing I didn't do. I need to add to this. Add it to this. This is scriptures as reminders. But I'm going to the Bible dictionary real quick, and I'm looking up celestial. All right, cool, cool. So from 1 Corinthians 7, 15, verse 40, it says, that their bodies celestial and terrestrial. And when it says celestial, from the King James Bible Dictionary or the Webster's Dictionary of 1828, it says celestial, meaning heavenly, belonging or relating to heaven, dwelling in heaven, as celestial spirits, celestial joys. Hence, the word conveys the idea of superior excellence, delight, purity, etc. Definition number two, belonging to the upper regions or visible heaven as celestial signs in the celestial globe. And number three, descending from heaven as a suit of celestial armor, celestial, an inhabitant of heaven. I like that. It says, as a noun, an inhabitant of heaven. So when we go back to 1 Corinthians 7:15 and verse 40, it says, there are also celestial bodies, but we have bodies that are inhabitants in heaven. So not only do we have an earthly body, which is our physical bodies that we have, the physical bodies that were given to us at birth from our mother, when the father implanted his seed into our mothers, a body was formed. And that's a terrestrial body. That's an earthly body. Okay? But the scriptures let us know that what? There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Yeah, we all have heavenly bodies. Okay? We see this when Christ was transfigured. Anybody familiar with the transfiguration? That he appeared in his celestial body. Yeah, Peter, James, and John were able to see Christ in his celestial body, in his heavenly body. All right? We see it also after Christ was resurrected, after the third day, before when he revealed himself to Mary and the sister that was there. He said, "Don't touch me yet, because I'm not yet ascended." And they saw him in his celestial or his heavenly body. All right. And one thing that we had from the days of Adam that we got cut off from was having access to that celestial body. And this is where you see people trying to gain back that power. They're trying to gain back that ability to reach out to the celestial bodies. This is why people talk about astral projection. This is why delving real heavy into the psychedelic drugs, into the acid, the PCP, the psychotropic drugs, trying to reach into their heavenly bodies. You see it as people trying to go into yoga, or people try achieve a chi or whatever, and they try and go and they try to get back in touch with that celestial body. But we understand from the scripture point of view that once Adam sinned and brought death into the world, to the world of Israel, but into the world of us, after being made in the Most High's image, that barrier, a barrier was being put up to prevent us from going back and forth now into the fourth dimension with the access and the liberty that we once had. Yeah, that was now shut off from us, but now we were not going to be cursed to be in these terrestrial bodies and not have that access to our heavenly bodies through the Most High in Christ. As you know, again, through other gods, Israel has always been trying to get back to that place. Again, through just the different drugs, different herbs, even through sex magic. For those who might be dealing with from the Kundalini to the Kama Sutras or the tantric sex, that you're trying to reach to those higher levels again, trying to reach those higher levels of ecstasy, those higher levels of euphoria, those higher levels of power. Or clarity that we keep trying to get back in, but Christ told us what in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. He let us know, or 14 and 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door, and nobody gets to the Father but by me. Then now see the Israelites that once Adam sinned, the only way we're going to have access, legal access, back to that power, back to that level, back to that understanding, back to that energy. Is by going through Christ. And now we have to go back and do it the same way Christ had to go through it. All right? But it is let us know that we do have bodies terrestrial, and we have to have bodies celestial. All right? that we have earthly bodies, but we also have heavenly bodies, you know, spiritual bodies, an actual body, okay? Now, from there, I want to jump down to verse 44, all right? I want to jump down to verse 44, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 15, and verse 44, and it reads, it is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So all this is doing is just translating what the words celestial and terrestrial mean. And let us know that we're first sown, or we first come now in a natural body. And again, that natural body is the body we get at birth, you know, from our physical earthly parents. That the Spirit of the Most High is now put inside that body form with conception. And the Most High put the Spirit in that body, which is our spirit, which is who we are. And then we're born. And so if we're sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And we know that when we pass on, that as far as that we pass back into our spiritual body. We go back into that spiritual house that's prepared for us. Okay? So again, we know that not only do we have a natural body, but we also have a spiritual body, a heavenly body. We have earthly bodies, but we also have heavenly bodies, okay? For me, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. And yeah, as a reminder, as we're going over this faith class and series, that we want to wind up this week, if possible, this coming week, that we want to have faith and belief and confidence in the words of the Most High. We want to show that we have faith, belief, and confidence that this is the testimony of the Most High, and that what he says is true, and that what he says is the truth, that his word is truth, right? That his word is the truth. And it says, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free, and that we shall both be freed up from the fears, freed up from the lies, freed up from the anxiety of death, freed up from the anxiety of what happens when you die. That we want to do our part as far as Isaiah 34 and 16, where it does say, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, and that no one of these shall fail. That if we have a question about death, the cycle of death, how things work, then we want to make sure that we're seeking out the book of the Lord and get his answers for these things. So we don't have to have a fear of death. Then we have to have a fear of the cycle of death. We understand how things work, okay? So I'm now going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and it reads, for we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of the Most High, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And again, what's being related to it is, let us know, in dealing that Hebrew Israelites, the knowledge that we had access to, is understanding, again, the cycle of life, the cycle of death. That we do have earthly bodies, but what we can't forget is that we do have also heavenly or spiritual bodies. So again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building on the Most High, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that we have a body or a house that our parents didn't make. We have a body or house that didn't come together upon conception from our parents. It wasn't made with hands. But we do have a spiritual house, a heavenly house, a heavenly body for us that we also have. Not just an earthly one, but a spiritual one, a heavenly one. And in verse 2, it says, for in this we grow earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. And again, this is where a lot of us have turned to drugs, looking for that escape. Looking for the escape of the pain, the traumas, the drama, the sorrow that we go through being in these physical bodies. And we long to be back in our spiritual body, right? That we clothed upon with that spiritual body that has no pain, no fear, no cold, no death, no sickness. That we're actually in our spiritual, angelic, if you will, bodies. And that's what we're wanting to get back to. As people of Israel, that's supposed to be the goal. Getting back to the kingdom of heaven. Getting back to having our kingdom in heaven as well as on earth. Yeah, we want to, but in order to do that, we want to get back to our spiritual house, our spiritual body, those immortal bodies, those bodies that aren't not subject to death because those bodies don't sin. Yeah, we want to get back to that position. We want to get back to that place. We want to get back to that place where, from Genesis 1:26, where we said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That we want to get back to our angelic position, where we had access to the fourth dimension, as well as the third dimension, or the spiritual realm and the earthly realm. We can go back and forth, just like you might see, to give a visual. For those who might have seen any of the Marvel Universe movies, particularly dealing with Thor, that he had the bridge, all right? And through that bridge, through that portal, that's when they had, I forget the character's name in the Avengers, but you had Idris Elba playing the gatekeeper. And he was able to see all different realms, but he was also able to have to help people travel back from the earth dimension to Asgard, the spiritual realm, and other realms all around. But there was a gate that was there, and a gatekeeper. It's amazing that the gatekeeper happened to be a Idris Elba, right? A black man who kept the way of Asgard so that the people of earth can not travel back and forth freely to Asgard. But the gods of Asgard had to go through the gatekeeper to get to earth, right? Which is roughly a rendition of what happened in Genesis, the third chapter. And when Adam was cut off and a cherub was placed between Adam and the fourth dimension, Adam and the kingdom of heaven, that cherub was to keep the way of life. And that now we no longer had access like we did to go freely back and forth between the two realms. Now we were doomed to be here in this earthly realm. Have to go through the punishment of not having the access to our heavenly, spiritual, all-powerful bodies. And now we'd be here subject to having to sweat, grow old, even die. All right, so just to help give a visual of what was going on with that they tried to show that in the movie, the Avengers movies, and going back and forth through the Rainbow Bridge, whatever the hell they call it, that was guarded by Idris Elba. That's a rough visual of what happened. That if you don't go through that angel, you don't go through that man, that gatekeeper, you can't go back and forth. That essentially is what happened to us as Israelites. All right. But again, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 and 2, I'm going to read it again. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building on the Most High, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." That we want to get back to that, to our spiritual power. We want to get back to our spiritual bodies. We want to get back to our all-powerful bodies, where again, like you were saying, that we will be gods on earth. We were God's representatives on the earth. Okay. From there, we go to the book of Job, chapter 32. And then we go to the book of Job, chapter 32. And again, I'd like to thank everybody who has joined us. Yeah, we see the Swartruth Bible Talk here presented on blogtalkradio.com. Again, the number to call in is 646-668-2568. If you'd like to call in and listen to the show. Or you can log on through our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. I'd like to thank you, whether you might be joining us live as we're broadcasting today, September 12th, 2019. You might be catching the broadcast live right now, or we catch you through one of the archives. You can go back and just try to catch up on some of your homework, catch up on some scriptures, what have you, as you might be driving in the car or at work. Just listening. We do appreciate you, all right? We do appreciate you, and thank you very much. And I'm just doing right now, I want to give a little tribute and honor for the great work done by the saint, the brother Ashar, right? As the Most High called him home, back to glory this past Monday. And I just wanted to go briefly over some of these scriptures as we're dealing with the topic of faith and understanding that we as Hebrew Israelites, we do mourn when one of our brothers and sisters passes. We do mourn only because we're not going to see that person in that light again. There is that mourning that does take place, all right? And we do acknowledge that. The scripture tells about 7 days of going through that and the different stages that people go through and accepting and understanding of what's transpired. But we also have that we're not ignorant of the mystery of the Most High of what happens after death. What happens to a person's spirit when they die? Is it just blackness forever? Or is there, as a lot of religious wants to imply, that there's this fiery pit that we go to, and it's just on fire. And you have devils and demons and ghouls and goblins with pitchforks, and they're just stabbing you as you're being raked over the fires and an eternal punishment. Just burning, but not being able to burn for eternity. Or that you're in the pearly gates. You have the pearly gates of heaven, and Peter is there with Abraham and waiting to give you either admittance to heaven or continue to hell. From a religious point of view, we want to get away from that. We want to get back to what the scripture says. We want to get back to the word of God, and that's what we're doing right now. Right? So right now I'm in the book of Job, chapter 32 and verse 8. Job chapter 32 and verse 8, and that we want to go ahead and make sure that we're going by the scriptures. Now, we want to make sure we're going by the words of the Most High. Now, knowing that from Romans chapter 15 verse 4, that things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through faith and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope, that we understand that the words of the Most High are true. So this is what happens to a person's spirit. Right? That when we die, there's a cycle, there's a process, and it's all been written down. The Most High in His Word lets us know that we don't have to worry about the quote unquote great beyond, and just have a lot of fear, worry, doubt, and regret. And this is why also, just touching that real quick, we want to make sure, brothers and sisters, as we're living in these last days, remember this fourth kingdom of Daniel chapter 2, the fourth kingdom of Daniel chapter 7, Babylon the Great, from Revelation chapter 12, 11, 18, even 13. As we're dealing with this Babylon the Great, it tells you that death and hell is all that's in this place. The 23rd Psalms tells us that, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That we want to put these words into application. We want to put these words into belief. We want to put these words into action. And that understanding that, yes, we're in the fourth kingdom where death and hell follow. This is where we're at. And that we're going to be having to face death. We're going to be facing the reality that, yes, even from Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, that the devils will cast one of us into prison, and that we've got to be faithful unto death. In Revelation chapter 8, looking under the altar and seeing the souls of those that were slain for the word of the Most High. And their question was, how long, O Lord, holy and true, does thou not avenge our death? Knowing that you said the death of your saints is precious, it's precious in your sight. And the reply of the Most High to those dead saints, those spiritual bodies, let me say it like that, is that wait a little while until the fellow brethren, the fellow laborers, are killed like they are. So in this last kingdom, the possibility of facing death, and we can't forget the warning of Yahweh Shai, or Christ, in Matthew chapter 24. He said that unless these days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. So we don't want to... I'm not trying to just bring death. We're not going to do the Johannesburg where we all go drink the Kool-Aid and kill ourselves or in some great big suicidal nonsense, not even on that level, but the understanding that, yes, the Most High prophesied and let us know there's going to be a lot of death during this time, that there'll be so much death that it will be possible that if the days aren't shortened, there ain't going to be any flesh to be saved. So knowing that there's scriptures and there's knowledge and information, Easter eggs, if you will. We're going to take it to some of the modern-day terminology. If we talk about movies and the Easter eggs in the movies, to let you know what's going to happen, prepare you for what's about to happen. Now, whether in the movie or in the series or in the sequels or whatever, that we don't want to be caught slipping, right? We don't want to be caught slipping. We want to make sure that we're aware of these things, that having to face death is a part of the process, right? This is where it is. And again, we do mourn. And I don't want to sound like just a cold-hearted, non-emotional brother. When I heard the knowledge, when I heard the news, it did hit me. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It was totally unexpected. But coming back now and putting my faith and my confidence back into the scriptures, my faith and my confidence back into the word of the Most High, he told us these things were going to happen. But he also told us the death cycle, that there's a cycle of death, there's a cycle of life, and that we want to make sure we're going through this without any regrets. That if there's a time where I can forgive an offender, if there's a time I might be able, he that wins a soul is wise, I might win back somebody that I've offended or has offended me, or whatever the case might be, that we can work these things out. Because like once a person has passed on, went back home, to see their face, to say, I'm sorry, to see their face, to say, I love you, to hold their embrace again, that can't be done. That can't be done. So we want to go ahead and make sure that as the person is alive, as the day is today, that we want to make sure that we have put forth all the effort to make sure we're healing, that we're healing and mending and binding back together the nation of Israel. Right, and not missing that opportunity to show love, not missing the opportunity to show you're special, I forgive you, or I'm sorry. We want to make sure that we're putting in that work. Okay, before I can't say the regret. Once a person passes on, they're at peace. They're spirits with the Most High. They're at peace. If those of that remain, that we have not made things right with them, we're stuck with that. Okay, so in Job chapter 32 and verse 8, it reads this. Job chapter 32 and verse 8, it says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. And what I want to key on here is there is a spirit in man. Yeah, as we were going through a couple of other scriptures, we have heavenly bodies. We have earthly bodies. We have celestial bodies. We have terrestrial bodies. Most I call them houses. But knowing that we have an earthly house and knowing that we have a heavenly house, but what's in us, but it says that there's a spirit in a man. So what is put into that earthly house? That's your spirit. And then what's put into that heavenly house? Again, your spirit. That you have an earthly body, you have a heavenly body. But what makes any of them function? What makes any of them move? What makes any of them operate? It's the spirit. It's the true essence of you. The thing that makes that body move. The thing that makes that body, gives that body life. That's the spirit that's in it. All right? So whether your spirit's in the earthly body or your spirit's in the heavenly body, it's the spirit that's in you that's important. It's your spirit. It's your personality. It's who you are. It's you that makes that earthly house move. It's you that makes that earthly house matter. It's you that makes that earthly house animated. It's you. All right? So it tells us again in Job chapter 13, verse 8, there is a spirit in man. So whether your spirit is trapped, like a lot of us are right now, in our earthly bodies, longing to be close upon with our heavenly bodies, or our spirit is passed on, and our spirit is in the celestial body, is in the heavenly body, free from the earthly confines, free from this earthly prison, if you will. That there is, again, Job chapter 32, verse 8, there is a spirit in man, right? That's what gives you life. That's who you are. That's what that is you. It's your essence. Now, it's not your physical body. Remember, these bodies we have were made from the dirt, made from the dust. And we understand that. When y'all do realize, and I've gone over this before, but when you, how does dust collect in a house? Remember, dust, true enough, you have dust that comes from outside, especially if in a dust bowl or in, near a lot of dirt where the wind can pick it up and blow that dirt into your house. And you have it's dusty. But the other, the 90% of dust in a person's house is dry skin. That's why we get ashy. That's why there's a need for moisturizer, whether it be from dandruff to just flakes, to just your skin peeling, your skin drying out. That's what the majority of house does. That's why you change the air filters in your house, because it collects dust. And what is that dust? It's dry skin. It's skin that's falling off the body. Not that you're dying, whatever. It's dry skin. So just lending to the understanding and the truth that our bodies are made from the dust. Then when you're sick, what is that that you're lacking? A vitamin or a mineral? And where do the vitamins and minerals come from? They're supposed to come from our food. They come from plants. They come from herbs. Which come from where? Which come from the earth. That your body is deficient in this mineral. Your body is deficient in this hormone. Your body is deficient in this vitamin. So you need to restore these things. And where they come from? They come back from the earth. So Job chapter 32, verse 8, once again tells us there is a spirit in man. That yeah, even we do have earthly bodies. We do have heavenly bodies. But what is it that makes us go? It's that spirit that's in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be any different from a pile of dust anywhere else. That when the spirit does finally leave the body, which we'll move to the next couple of scriptures, when your spirit finally leaves your body, what happens to the body? They call it decomposing. And what is decomposing? It's the body going back to dust. It's decomposition. And it's the body going back to dust. That's why they say what? Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. That whether the body cremated or not, what happens to the flesh? What happens to the sinews? What happens to the muscles and the fat? It dries up and goes back to dust. All right? So, once the spirit leaves you, your body goes back to dust. And that's what the next scripture tells us. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. We can get that real quick. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. And it reads, Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1. It reads, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens, and laid the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." So it tells you, that spirit that's in you, who formed that spirit that's in you? That spirit that's put inside that earthly body. And again, now we know that the earthly body that we do get is from our parents, our biological parents. Yeah, that's how we got here. Okay, but the spirit that was put inside that body, who formed it? The spirit that was inside that body, where did it come from? Again, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." So again, that spirit, where was that spirit formed at? That is to be put inside that earthly body. The Most High formed it. The Most High made it. All right? That the Most High forms the spirit, that's a man. All right? From there, we're going to go back to Job chapter 34. We're going to go back to Job chapter 34. And verse 14 now. Job 34 and verse 14. And it reads, if he sets his heart upon man, if he gathers unto him, unto himself, his spirit and his breath. Again, so in forming man from the dust of the ground, it says that the Most High breathed what into man? That spirit of life, that spirit. Who you are. That was done for Adam in the very beginning. After Adam, and that was done, the harvesting process, your parents got together, and a body was formed. And then a spirit was put inside that body. Your personality, who you are, that was put inside of a body, inside of a shell, to where we even see like some people, some women have miscarriages or stillbirth. And what is that? That means the spirit was not put inside that body. Right? The spirit was not put inside of that shell. So, and reading Job chapter 34, verse 14, again it says, if he set his heart upon man, if he gathered to himself his spirit and his breath, verse 15, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. So, grabs to that body, when the Most High wants it, he takes back his spirit, that body goes back to the dust. And this will be called death. Is that all death is that the Most High decided to take back that spirit that he put inside that body in the first place. And that might come from a very peaceful means. That a person just like, as we can read our forefathers, they slept with their fathers. They went to sleep. They died peaceful. It wasn't traumatic. It wasn't violent. It wasn't some phenomenon where the earth opened up and swallowed them up or what have you. That in whatever way the Most High decides to get his spirit, retrieve his spirit out of the earthly bodies that he put the spirit into, that this is when we perish. This is when we die. And then we start the body, the physical body starts the process of what? That decomposing. Because the spirit is out of it. The Most High called his spirit back home. And this is what we understand in the process and the cycle of life. Is that the Most High just brought back, he retrieved his spirit. He retrieved his spirit that he put inside of that body. Whether it was from 1 day old, 1 hour old, 1 minute old, to 120 years old. That, and whatever time in between, that all the Most High decided to do was what? Take his spirit back out of that body. And once you take your spirit back from that body, what happened with us? We die. We perish. And again, that's what Job chapter 34 and verse 14 and 15 says. I'm going to read it one more time. And it says, if he set his heart upon man, if he gathered to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. So that's the body, that earthly house. Most that calls the spirit back, that earthly house, it just goes back to the earth. Right? It goes back to the earth because the Most High decided he wanted to gather back his spirit. He wanted his spirit back with him, back in the fourth dimension. Okay? So from there, let's go to Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Not Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8. And it reads, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. So, again, we're seeing in the scripture what? From the top, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, it says, there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. That when the Most High wants the spirit back, no man has the power to say no. No man has the power to say, no, I'm going to keep my spirit in me. But we see movies where they're trying to do the transplant. Basically the Frankenstein or create something like that where they can transfer spirits from one body to another. The Most I want you dead, you're dead. So it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither has he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. That in that war, no matter what a man does, trying to keep his spirit in his body, when the Most High wants his spirit back, it's going back. When the Most High wants that spirit that he put inside that earthly shell, that he wants it back, it's going to go back. It's going to go back. Now we look to Ecclesiasticus. Now we go to Ecclesiasticus chapter 41 and verse 3 and 4. We were just in Ecclesiastes. Now we go to Ecclesiasticus. Or some people might be familiar with Syriac. Chapter 41. In verse 3. Excuse me, y'all. I got some something in my nose. Ecclesiastes chapter 41 and verse 3, and it reads, "Fear not the sins of death. Remember them that have been before thee and that come after. For this is the sentence of the Lord over all flesh. And why art thou against the pleasure of the Most High? There is no inquisition in the grave, whether thou hast lived 10 or 100 or 1,000 years." So, again, from the top again, Ecclesiasticus, chapter 41, verse 3, says, "Fear not the sentence of death. Remember them that have been before thee, and they come after. For this is the sentence of the Lord over all flesh, that once Adam sinned and death entered into the world for us, that now we're going to die. We're going to die. This is going to happen. And we're not supposed to fear it." And you can go back and you can see how our forefathers would fight courageously. And it was they fought knowing and understanding what? If it's my day to go, it's my day to go. There's nothing I can do about it. It's my time. If it's not my time, let me go all out. Either way. That when the Most High says it's time to go, it's time to go. So you can go back and see in a lot of warriors, there wouldn't be no fear. It was accepted. If this is the day I got to die, this is the day I got to die. I'm not going to go out like a coward. I'm going to go out like all fearful, because the scripture just told us what? Not to be fearful of death, the sins of death. But a lot of our foreparents faced what kind of fate, if I can say it like that. They had a fear. They had a fear. We didn't believe in the words of the Most High. We feared death could be a problem of the nations. And the nations didn't have no understanding about how the Most High deals with death. I'm still here. Just reflecting. That the Most High did not give us the spirit of fear. So death is not for something which was a fear. This is where you see a lot of the great heroes of the Bible. They lived their lives this way. And just simply understanding, if it's my time, it's my time. Not in a daredevil type of way. Not in a tempting God type of way. Okay, wow. So, again, Ecclesiastes chapter 21, verse 3. Fear not the sentence of death. Remember them that have been before thee, and they come after. For this is the sentence of the Lord over all flesh. And why? And verse 4 is very heavy. And why art thou against the pleasure of the Most High? If it pleased the Most High to bring back his spirit, why are we against the Most High? Why are we against the Most High doing his pleasure? If the Most High chose to bring his spirit back home to him, doesn't the Most High have the right to do with his as what he wants to? It's that so many of us, because we don't have these scriptures, and if we don't have confidence in the scriptures, have belief in the scriptures, we don't understand that the process. It's just that the Most High wanted his spirit to come back home, and that was his pleasure. That was his pleasure. Why we get the Most High's pleasure. Again, we have a time of mourning. And that's given to us in the scriptures. But a lot of just thinking about how many of our people be so angry at the Most High, angry at God, and want to reject God because he took my loved one. We want to make sure that we are studying. We want to make sure that we have that strong confidence in the words of the Most High. Again, that we through faith and comfort of the scriptures, that now we want, that we might have hope. But yeah, we're going to mourn the passing of a loved one because we're not going to see them in that light. I'm going to see them again as that person. But we should have a rejoicing in that now they're in their celestial, angelic bodies. All right. From there, let's go to Psalm chapter 104. We only have about 15 minutes left, so I'm going to just finish up this class in the next 15 minutes. Psalm chapter 104. Hopefully I'm not being heard. Hopefully this is broadcasting proper. And again, for everybody who is tuning in, whether live right now or to the you can back later on to the app, thank you all very much. You have tuned in to the Sword Truth Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. The number to call in, again, is 646-668-2568. When you call in during a live broadcast, or if you miss any part of the show and want to catch the show, please log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and the list of episodes will come up. And this one for today is now I'm starting to title them by date anyway. And this one is ISBHPK 82, Faith Part 7, 912. 2019, September 12th, 2019. In case you missed any part of the show and want to catch up on it, or just go back over for review or what have you, it will be available to you as soon as the show is done. And the best access that I found is to go through Google Podcasts. I don't have any stake in that. I don't get any revenue from it. But Google Podcasts would be the best way to get in touch with any of the Blog Talk classes that have been done. Go to the app, BibleApps.com. Go to the app, download it, and then search BlogTalkRadio.com through the app. And once you get pull up the page, BlogTalkRadio.com through the app, there's a search box. Type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. That's going to lead to our Blog Talk Radio page. Once you get to the Blog Talk Radio page, you can hit the box for subscribe. And as we do any of our Blog Talks, yeah, you'll be able to have access to them through the Blog Talk podcast. Or you go, again, to www, the website, www.blogtalkradio.com. Find the search box when you get there, or www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and that'll give you the latest shows that we've done in chronological order. All right, the latest shows in chronological order, starting from the newest to oldest. All right, so with that, we're going to the book of Psalms, chapter 104. I'm going to the book of Psalms, chapter 104. And verse 29. Psalms 104, verse 29. And it reads, thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thy face is where they rest. They die. And they turn to the dust. All right, cool. So we're seeing, again, David now is giving us more insight and precepts to understanding the Most High, to understanding God, understanding the process and the cycle of life and the cycle of death. And it reads in Psalms chapter 104, verse 29, it says, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. So when the Most High turns his face from us, that's why you need like a parent or a guardian. Why does a toddler need a babysitter? Why does a sheep need a shepherd? To keep you from trouble. As a shepherd, he's keeping you away from the holes, keeping away from the foxes, the wolves, the bears and the lions, and protecting you. And he's watching. His face is watching you. Make sure that that all you got to do is just eat. As a shepherd watching over sheep and protecting them, all you got to do is eat. Eat, use the bathroom, and be protected. And have sex and multiply. Get sheared every once in a while, but just live your life. But you're able to enjoy that life because there's somebody watching over you. There's somebody providing protection. There's somebody looking for the dangers and looking for the wild animals that are coming to devour you. That there's someone doing that. But in Psalms 104 and verse 29, it says, thou hidest thy face. Psalms 104 verse 29. Again, it's on my electronic device. And it wants to, you know, do what electronic devices do. Thou hidest thy face. So the Most High hide his face. That if our actions and things that we're doing cause the Most High to turn his face from us, that our behavior and our things that we're involved with upset the Most High, what does the Most High do? Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. We're going to be troubled. We're going to be in trouble. Is there not someone there to watch over, to protect, to guide, to direct, deflect any harm that might be coming our way? So we're troubled. There it says, thou takest away their breath. The Most High takes back his spirit. The Most High takes back their spirit, their breath that he put inside of us. And once he takes away his breath, what happens to us? They die. We die. And what happens to that earthly house that we had? What happens to this earthly tabernacle? What happens to this earthly terrestrial body? And it returns to the dust. That body decomposes, it goes back to the dust. But remember, what was in that body that made that body move, live, breathe, talk, walk, laugh, cry? It was the spirit that was formed by God, that was put inside that body, that made you who you were. But now, it gets to the point, Most High takes away his spirit. He takes away his spirit. He takes the spirit back from that body. And the body does what? Goes back to dust. It decomposes. Nothing trip on it. From there, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes in the Bible. And again, I know for a lot of people this is a review, but it's always good to review these. It's always good to go back over these scriptures, especially during these times. That again, I'll quote it once again. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it does remind us that things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through faith and comfort of the scriptures, and that we might have hope, that we have a hope. We have a beam in our eye, a glint in our eye. We don't have despair, wonder, and bewilderment. But we know and understand that now the things that we're doing is not in vain. And that there's things that we don't have to be afraid of. And that there's things that we really don't have to be afraid of. And that the scripture just told us, the word of the Most High just told us, they won't be afraid of the sins of death. Do the things that are right and pleasing in the eyes of the Father, we don't have nothing to worry about. That we might be blessed to go out in our sleep. We might be blessed that it's not a painful, violent ripping of the spirit from the body. That it, you got home, you had a peaceful night, peaceful day with your loved ones. It wasn't involved or seeped in a lot of anger, jealousy, strife, contention. That, you know, it really does give further insight, more weight onto applying the scripture that says, be angry but sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That while still today, if there are issues that need to be worked out between two people, a group of people, that while it's called today, it's going to work these things out, because tomorrow ain't promised to anybody. And it's beyond now holding grudges. It's beyond now holding grudges and aging ourselves in unforgiveness and aging ourselves in a seat for justice. We should be striving to make sure that today, every day, if someone has a problem with me, I have a problem with them, we work that out today. We mend, we rectify, we bring peace to things today. Again, we're in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 7 now. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 7, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse 7. And it says, come behind the precept about the Most High takes his breath away. We die and go back to the dust. Then now verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to the Most High who gave it. So remember, so that we have an earthly body, we have a celestial body. And now we should remember that now when we die, and the spirit that was in that body, the Most High formed it. Your parents formed the body. Right? And they got together, had sex, and that's how you got the body that you have at birth. But the spirit that's in that body was given by the Most High. So that when the Most High brings that spirit back out, again in verse 7, Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the Most High who gave it in the first place. So the spirit that was put in that body that your parents formed, who put it there first? The Most High had to put that spirit there. And whether you lived an hour to 150 years old, it got to a point now the Most High decided to bring that spirit back home. That spirit now returns back to where it began. That spirit didn't begin in the mother's womb. That spirit was with the Most High before the mother put had that body placed in her. Before that mother, the egg and the sperm got together with the chemical reactions and the chemical science and divisions of earth science that happened to where the fetus was formed, and then it grew into a baby, and then time came time for the baby to leave the womb and be born. Now, before any of that process happened, that you know, that's how the physical body was made, but it didn't become a life or become anything until the Most High put the spirit in it. Then when the Most High chooses to take the spirit back, it's going back to where it started from. So it's going back to where it started. And it didn't start in the mother's womb. That body was formed inside the mother's womb. But it went until the Most High put his spirit in it in the first place. Then now when the Most High pulls that spirit back out, all it's doing is going back home. That spirit is going back to the Most High. That spirit is going back to its celestial heavenly body. That's how this works. So again, Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the Most High who gave it." Who gave it? From there, let's go to Job chapter 3. Let's go to Job, the third chapter. Now, I've got 90 seconds left here. Let me see here. That's going to be a lot of reading. That's going to be a lot of reading, and we only have 90 seconds left. All right, the delay is working. And hey, we probably hear our speaker. Yeah, my son is finally joining as we have 60 seconds left in this radio broadcast. I've been over this passage many times before, and I am going to tie it into. I'm going to come back and change the name on the title of the class. We want to make sure we have faith in these words. We want to make sure we have faith and confidence in the words of the Most High, and understanding the life cycle, and understanding how life and death is all a cycle. And how it all works. And we want to make sure that we're putting into application, again, the confidence of believing the words of the Most High. The confidence that this is how it works. And not just be left with the fear of death. Not just be left with the fear of how the Most High decided to take that body, that spirit, out of that particular body. We want to make sure that with these words, there's a comfort. That by whatever means, once the spirit leaves that body, all it's going to do is go back to the dust. That's all that physical, earthly body is going to do. But that spirit that was in that body, that's going back to the Most High who gave it in the first place. There is a cycle. And that is with these words and with these teachings, that we want to heal each other and comfort each other with these words. That if there's a fear about what happens, that the Most High gave us the answer through the scriptures, through study. To be able to give somebody the reason of the hope that's in us. Why do I have hope? A great outlook? Because I know the truth, and the truth has set me free. I'm learning the words of the Most High. And I have a confidence and a trust in the word of the Most High to where I'm applying the words of the Most High. And I'm not saying this to be the AI robot that has no emotions, that has no feelings, and just on robotic mode. I'm not saying it for that aspect at all. Once I get that time and that period of mourning, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. That I'm not going to see this person as them again. The next time I see them, it's going to be from our heavenly bodies. That there's not another chance to form more great memories. There's not another chance to say, oh, one more, I love you. There's not a chance to say, one more, forgive me. There's not a chance to have another laugh or dance or sit down and have another great class where we both learned a lot about the Most High sitting together. That there's not another opportunity to make new memories. So then we should make sure then that we're establishing good memories with one another and doing the Most High's righteousness and doing right by the Most High. All right, so with that, brothers and sisters, I do want to thank everybody who has tuned in. As I'm looking on the switchboard and see me do that, several numbers. Thank you all for listening. And again, for those that might tune in to the after show or come back through an archive, if the time hasn't passed yet, September 27th, starting at sunset, is our next high holy day, which is besides the weekly Sabbath, is the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets. Again, September 27th at sunset, the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets. We invite you to join any of the school locations, whether in Albuquerque, 7710 Suite F, Menard Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, Mexico, 87110. We invite you to go and join the brothers and sisters at the congregate and get together for the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets there in Albuquerque. It was in San Antonio, 4219 Center Gate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Be the zip code there. Whether it be in Houston at 8524 South Bridgewood Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071, be the address there. Or all the way out there in Norfolk, Virginia at 2610 Grambley Street. That's 2610 Grambley Street. We invite you to join with the families in all these locations. And if you happen to be a brother or a member of another Hebrew Israelite community, another Hebrew Israelite congregation, we invite you to get with them in whatever city you might be in and congregate and keep the law, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. Come together, all right, and get to know one another. So with that, I do want to thank everybody who did tune in. And I want to ask that you might have a blessed day. And again, to the brother Ashar and to his family, Ashar Kawada, Kawada for, again, your love for the Most High, for your love for the work, your love for brotherhood, because you were an epitome of there's not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that if it was you facing your fears whether that would have been street speaking or speaking out in public in front of people, or if it was doing the workouts, whatever it might have been, whatever was asked, you were there. You fought whatever feelings you might have had, that might have been contrary wise, as it was giving rides, if it was just being available, open up class, teach, whatever it might have been. And you always showed an amazing amount of brotherhood and charity and with the ability to do it with a smile on your face. So, brother, again, to water for your example and to water for your inspiration and to the rest of your family, again, the water. So with that, my name is Mashallah, and I'll let you say shalom. And our next blog talk class, today is Thursday, our next blog talk class will most likely be, again, next Tuesday at this same time. The next blog talk class from Albuquerque will be this blog talk class period will be next Tuesday, if not this Saturday, probably next Tuesday. All right? So with that, I do want to say shalom. And if you're in San Antonio, There is class tonight, 4219 Cinegate Drive. Or you can log on to the YouTube channel and catch ISBHPK Norfolk Live. Brother Kazaki out there in Norfolk will be teaching the YouTube class tonight. And if you're in Houston, go back to school anyway. They're still having class. All right? This is not going to be streamed online. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and say shalom.